see David coming towards me with a glass of milk. I know if I drink it that I won't be sad, and I'll forget my husband Ted. Never mind that I have a baby and Kathy who's four, I think. I don't care cause I'm longing for milkshine. I'm Crystal the whore. David, where are you? I need you. I'm married with two kids, that is. But if you have some milk, I'll put out for you. I love this part. David Hayward knows how to treat me, keeps me feeling up. When I need a fixin' of some nice hot milk, he drops two pink pills in my cup. I have sex with him, then drink my milk. Who could ask for more? I don't need my kids in junk, I just need my milk drunk. I'm Crystal the whore. What can I tell you? I'm Crystal the whore. That's just the way things go, I guess. Did I mention I'm really sad about my daughter, babe? Did I also mention I look really nice with my new shag haircut? And I look pretty good in a pair of jeans.
This week on All My Children, Opal puts that whore Crystal on lockdown.
David calls Amanda a whore.
Randy gets busted for being a whore.
And Petey hires a whore.
But they just talk.
All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
We made a commitment to the viewers, Jordan. Jordan, we made a commitment.
We watch so you don't have to.
I don't know how much longer I can do this.
I am your host, Ashley Mendoza. And of course, Rebecca walks in and ruins it.
You know, I used to like her, and now I hate that bitch.
I freaking died.
I say though, Bianca was really booming up in that black net dress.
I'm not even gonna throw the blame on Chuck Pratt. I'm gonna put the blame on Addie Walsh,
Darren Little, and Tracy Thompson. I used to get pirated to access safe and secure places.
Zern Danny will blow your cover right out of the wall.
Who writes this shit?
Jeff Belder, Chip Hayes, Rebecca Taylor.
I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson. I didn't understand why Jake didn't become Jake Iva and get them out of the elevator. I'm surprised he didn't stay. Do you have a piece of gum, an old orange juice carton Tropicana, and a Red Bull playing pen?
Joanna Cohen
and Kate Hall. Those are all the writers of All My Children currently. All of them need to be fired because the dialogue sucks.
Suck it, All My Children.
Suck it.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And this is the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending January 9th, 2009.
Woo, it's been a whole year since I've seen you.
Oh, it's been a whole, it feels like a year.
Right, it feels like, especially when you're watching All My Children.
Ooh.
I know that was a low blow, but I couldn't help it.
The first few minutes of the show, Jordan, you couldn't even hold back for more than
Girl,
3 minutes.
Look, it is a brand new year, and I think it's time we get a brand new executive producer and a brand new writing team.
I hear you. I thought we were going to get one.
I know. All those rumors right before the holidays on our blog and everywhere was that the executive producer from General Hospital Night Shift, who everybody was praising General Hospital Night Shift the second season because of this woman. Rumor has it that she was coming to our beloved All My Children to save the day. But now, like, there's no,
nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
Zip.
Julie Horan, Crap Brothers, is still the executive producer. Chuck Pratt and his abysmal writing team are still writing the show. And, you know, I got to tell you, this is my problem with All My Children right now.
Before we go into that, can I say one thing?
What?
Happy New Year, everybody!
Oh, you're right. Happy New Year!
You all. Happy New Year. You ain't gone a long time.
What did you do on your vacation?
I needed a break.
I know. What did you do on your vacation?
I went away.
Where'd you go?
To upstate.
Okay.
Upstate New York.
Oh, you live in New York.
No, but I have family up there.
I know, but that's not really going away,
girl.
That's
a vacation.
Then
they
I guess
had like 10 inches of snow.
Then I guess
there.
When I come visit you in Brooklyn, then I that's like a vacation for me because I'm leaving the Bronx. Please.
Yeah, boy. is a vacation.
No, no. Girl, vacation is when you get your ass on a plane and you go to like a Puerto Rico, like when I did in September for that 5 days. That's a vacation.
That's a Jibaro vacation.
That's not a Jibaro vacation because I was
Puerto Rico, going upstate.
Oh, okay. Yes, I was going to say because
what did you do?
I'm broke because I'm still paying for that prescription. I'm swimming in debt right now.
Listen,
people.
Listen, at least your Medicaid kicked in.
My Medicaid did kick in, but it kicked in too late.
You got President Obama. He's going to take care of you,
Obama, baby, come through for me, brother, man.
Jordan
come over, brother,
need
man.
Your
I need
help.
You. I need your help. I need some serious health coverage. But anyway, I did so much. I got my DVR down to 60%.
Oh, my God.
My DVR has not been 60% since I got the DVR.
What cable system do you use? I don't have that measurement.
I have Cablevision.
Oh, I have Time Warner Cable.
Honey, I'm in the Bronx. There's no Cablevision's the worst. I wish
Time
we could
Warner
get...
Time Warner Cable's
bad. The Bronx has, like, a monopoly on... Cablevision has a monopoly in the Bronx. We can't get Time Warner. Believe me, that if people could choose in the Bronx, they would not choose Cablevision sucks.
So are you saying that...
Suck it, Cablevision.
Suck it. So are you saying that your little meter, your little memory on your DVR was 60% full from all the television programs?
No, my DVR is, like, always 99%. I'm like always trying to like watch something so I can make sure there's room.
Because
I watch, I know.
Yeah.
So I was able to catch up on so many things. I was like, I finally caught up almost on Fringe, Pushing Daisies.
I saw
my mystery. You know, because I DVR all those Channel 13 PBS shows,
mm-hmm.
like Inspector Linley and Inspector Morris. I love those.
American and then, Masterpiece Theater.
They're now called Classic Mysteries. That's what's his name hosts that? That gay actor. What's his name? The Irish one. Alan Cumming.
Oh, I know. Yes, I was just
and
about
to
say him.
My gorgeous Gillian Anderson hosts.
I love her.
She hosts the regular classics.
I love her.
Look, I caught up on that. I caught up on my TV shows some. I caught up like on Fringe and Pushing Daisies. I was so happy to catch up on so many things. But now I'm already falling behind because everything's starting up again.
Did you finish watching Summer High Tide?
What?
Summer High Tide.
That's that Australian thing on HBO, right?
Melissa wrote it. She loves it like me.
No,
that finale was the bomb.
I didn't. You know what I caught up on? I caught up on True Blood.
Okay.
Saw True Blood all the way through.
I don't watch that.
I'm still behind on the Tudors. I gotta catch it because
I gotta watch
started.
The Tudors. I heard that.
Oh, and you know what I saw?
What?
Oh my God, that train wreck.
Sober House?
No, it's not Sober House. Hasn't started yet. The one with the 8 guys that used to be like hot studs.
True Beauty on ABC?
No, I did tune into True Beauty. Just
how was
to
it?
See,
how was it?
They're not beauties. Let me tell you, say those
that's
are no,
point.
No, 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 no,
that's
no, no, no.
Point.
You're having a show about people being beautiful, and then you're gonna get people that are like kind of mediocre looking. like there's like one, maybe one person that I thought, okay, that person's like beautiful. The women are all overly done, made up. One of them looks like a transgender,
oh my
and
God.
She swears she's hot, and she looks like she used to be a man.
That's the point of the show.
No, the point of the show is to judge them on their inner beauty, which obviously they don't have any, but they don't even have outer beauty, except for the one Italian-looking guy. He's hot. I can't deny it. He's good-looking. But the rest of them aren't even that attractive.
So what are the
it's
shows?
It's a stupid show. No, the one up with the celebrities on VH1 that used to be like really hot people like Agent Smith, Christopher Atkins.
Oh, yeah,
that
they're
premiered,
trying to make the comeback.
That premiered last Sunday. Girl, let me tell you,
I missed it.
I was all prepared. It's VH1. They show it every 2 seconds.
All right, I
gotta
watch
it. Just look for it. Let me tell you, I was prepared to watch like a train wreck. And I was so surprised with how fascinated and deep this was. Because these guys...
Willie Ames. He's on it,
let
right?
Let me tell you. No, not Willie Ames.
He's not on it.
No, David Chokichi.
The guy from my favorite movie, The Blue Lagoon.
Yes, Christopher Atkins.
Ah, love that
he
movie.
He did not age well, girl.
I don't care. I love
he
that movie.
He did not age
I don't care.
Well.
Go watch that movie. He's delicious.
He is delicious, but not anymore, girl. He did not age well. I'd still do him, but he did not age well. But let me tell you something. I was dying because it was
Gordo?
So deep. No, no.
No, gordito?
Just, you know, Ebelel is blanco, so, you know, they don't age as well as us Latins.
Sí, sí, sí,
you know,
sí.
Black don't crack, girl.
That's true.
So, he don't look like the Blue Lagoon or what. He looks like the Blue Dried Up River.
That's
so,
me!
So, wait, I still do him. He's still cute. But you know who really looked bad? Remember Adrian Smed from Grease 2 and TJ Hooker?
He always looked bad. Who are you people kidding?
And Billy Hussey.
He had a Billy nose
Hussey,
on him.
Let me tell you something. Billy Hussey.
Who the hell is Billy Hussey?
Well,
I don't know.
He used to be on Fame. But the thing that kills me is that they were...
The TV series Fame?
Yeah, the TV series Fame.
I don't watch that crap.
They talk about their past credits, and he did not mention that he was a soap star. I thought that was very interesting that he was ashamed of the fact that he used to be Julio, or I think it was Julio Ramirez, on Days of Our Lives for like 2 years.
Well, listen,
he didn't even mention that he was a soul. And you know
if
what?
He was ever,
wait,
if he
and
was
let me tell you something, Billy Husty. Billy Husty, more people watch Days of Our Lives than they did Fame, the TV series.
Yeah, no kidding.
So you're no more for Days of Our Lives. Because soap fans are like elephants. They don't forget anything.
So suck it, Billy Husty.
So suck it, Billy Husty, for not owning up to your soap opera roots.
Well, we are so glad to all of you that you did not go while we were away. We had like 8,278 postings on our blog.
I know.
I
and 200 of them were from Shadow alone. I love you, Shadow. I'm just teasing.
Shadow.
I'm just teasing.
Shadow should be a co-host one of these days.
I know.
He's very active too.
We gotta figure out what that show that we did.
That show that we did
with what were those guys? They don't listen to us. They don't even know who we were.
They really didn't.
But that one guy was cute on the phone. I don't know what he looked like. He was an actor too.
Well, anyway, we gotta figure out the technology.
We gotta figure out because
I would love Shadow on the show. And N69,
everybody. All of you, I would love to be able to interact. We gotta do that. We gotta figure that out. Would you guys like that?
Yes.
And we need your response. Oh, we haven't got technology. But no, you know what we should do? I want to do this at least. I want you guys to get on the blog and list questions for next week so that we can answer them. Whatever you want to know.
That's a good idea.
That is a good idea. So all of you guys, so at least then we can start the interactive. So you guys get on the blog this week. Give us your questions and we'll try to answer, like, you know, whatever you want to know.
And it's really not because we don't want to talk about the show or nothing. About All My Children. We love talking about All My Children. Right? Why are you so quiet?
Look, I was saying at the beginning of the show before you come. Oh, wait, I saw Revolutionary Road.
So did you see Revolutionary?
Did you like it?
I love it.
Was it not? People, let me tell you something. I'm going to be devastated if they don't get the Oscars. I have not seen every movie, but I did see Benjamin Button and I did see Revolutionary Road. And I'm sorry, Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet. They are like our generation's Katharine Hepburn and what's his name? They got so much. They need to do more movies together and not wait 10 years because they work so well together. And this is one of his best performances.
No. Correct that. What? This is his best performance, in my opinion.
Well, I haven't seen all his movies.
I've seen a lot of his films.
I stopped seeing
him. The one great film he was in is Who's Eating Gilbert Grape when he played the little retarded kid.
But that's when I was in love with him.
He was incredible. But then since then, for me, his roles have been a little hammy for me.
Well, like, that's what I'm saying. He gets, like, I gotta say, as much as I love him, like, a lot of his film choices.
And I always remember that it's him.
A lot of his, well, that's what I'm saying, right?
But
like,
with this film,
movie,
people,
oh my
no,
God.
No, no,
there
no.
was this one scene.
He becomes this character completely.
There was this one
through.
Scene where I was so lost in his performance that I just wanted to reach through and hug him. I was so.
You know who I want to hug?
He made me feel him so. Who you want to hug?
I want to hug Miss Kane.
Miss Kane!
Talk about Miss Kane. Miss Kane, can I reveal that you are Christopher? You always say AKA Christopher, so that's okay.
Oh, he does say that?
Yeah, okay. Christopher. Miss Kane is one of our loyal bloggers, one of the first, and he sent us the most thoughtful Christmas gifts. We were so excited. We got them today, actually.
I'm dying to get out of here and go home and, like, put them on.
He gave us the 20th, 25th, and 30th anniversary episodes of All My Children.
And I remember all of them.
And I wish I forgot one of them. But I thought that was so thoughtful, Miss Kane. We really appreciate it. All the love you guys are showing on the blog postings. I didn't get through everything, but I got through a lot of it. And it was just amazing, like, to read all the postings and to hear all the love that our little community has generated. It's so beautiful.
It is.
Jordan is speechless.
No, I'm not speechless. I'm ready to go on my rant. I'm ready to start this.
Can I do one other thing?
What?
Can I thank Luis for yet another brilliant song opening?
Love you, Luis.
He's so the best.
Love you, Luis.
I'm just reminding you all that we have a lot of people that make this podcast, you know, great for us. And so Luis is one of them.
No, I'll tell you, you know, I'm not going to... There's some other things that I look at. I won't mention them by names. And I by far think that you guys are the best. Honestly.
Intelligent,
in your comments,
thoughtful,
your
smart,
everything,
considerate,
everything,
constructive.
Everything that I read, because I go on the other, like, you know, and I look at the people that are
I
posting.
I know who you want to bash, but I'm going to...
Yes, that place. I won't even. No, no, I won't even. We're not gonna name names.
We don't
but,
do that in our.
But
in our
my feeling like is if you're gonna be doing a podcast or a website about soap operas, then you should know what you're talking about. That's all I'm gonna say on the subject matter.
I'm not gonna be negative, but I'm gonna be positive about us because we are the best. All of us. Not our podcast per se, but the community is.
I think it's the they inspire us. You guys inspire us.
You people know we don't make no money doing this.
And you inspire.
We don't make a dime.
You inspire us.
We lose money. We do it out of love.
You inspire us when the show isn't.
That's right. That's going to be our new tagline for 2009.
This is my problem with the show right now.
Chuck Pratt. Right now.
Right now.
Jordan,
right
now.
Right now, this second.
All right.
Chuck Pratt is not a writer. He has been hired to be a head writer. If you went to a dermatologist, let's say, right, and he decides to remove one of your teeth, you would be a little bit upset, right? Because he's not a dentist, he's a dermatologist.
That's right.
Well, I'm a little bit upset that Chuck Pratt's hired as a head writer, but he's not writing.
I agree.
He's not writing, people, and this is what I'm getting mad about, because as much as we didn't like Megan McTavish's storylines, she wrote a story. She told the story. We didn't like the story.
I hate her.
Listen to what I'm saying, though. We didn't like the story, but she told a story with a beginning. I mean, there was characters, did things in progression. What Chuck Pratt is doing is bizarre. It's choppy. It makes no sense.
It's very clear what he's doing. It makes sense.
What, he's trying to ruin the show?
No.
He's trying to put the nail in the coffin?
He does plot point to plot point to plot point.
Right,
and he doesn't time out. He doesn't care what character does what. He has no respect for the character. He only cares about his dumbass, stupid plots that he thinks are so suspenseful and so amazing. And they're boring. They're dumb and stupid.
I disagree with you. There are no plots. There are no plots because there's no story.
There's only one story. Not believable.
There is only one story, and it's the David Crystal JR story with Amanda. That's the only story he's telling.
This week,
not this week. You think that anything with Jesse has been a story? What is that story about?
It is. It's a story. It's a plot.
How is that a story?
Not a story.
There's nothing going on with them.
It's a plot. It's like this.
All of a sudden, she doesn't have a tumor and she's going to be saved?
It's a plot. It's not a story. You're right. It's not a story.
We don't see them. Wait, we didn't see them.
It's like literally if you looked on the page, it would be like Jesse was married to Jesse's ex-wife, Natalia, comes to town. She has a tumor. The tumor will be bad. We think she will die. She lives. Jesse and Natalia go to the dance.
We didn't see the Hubbards for the last 2 weeks through the holidays. They were, I guess, in real life, they were on vacation.
Everybody was on vacation, as I think Shadow noted.
But the thing that kills me is, like, all of a sudden they appear out of nowhere, and it's like there's no. All of a sudden, Frankie's upset that his girlfriend's a hooker. Where did that come from? You knew she was a hooker when you met her. Now all of a sudden it bothers you.
You know what I love?
What?
How you say hooker.
Hooker. And then another beautiful thing.
What?
They finally bring Carmen back this week.
It wasn't so beautiful.
No explanation to where she's been through the tornadoes, to where she's been through everything. No. And then wasn't the last time we saw her telling Jackson it's over and moving on with her life? Why all of a sudden is she back with Jackson? There's no...
And breaking up with him. She was with him for a minute and then broke up with him because he's still loves Jennifer.
There's nothing that he is doing is making sense.
Time out.
He needs to go. And another thing, I am over the misogynistic tones of this show. Now, guys, I'm being serious. I'm not joking about this.
This is disgusting.
It is disgusting that an executive producer is a female. And that I found out from, I don't know if it was Laura.
Zach,
one of our.
David and Jake even all have grossly insulted women with disgusting names.
Brian Franz's boss is a woman. Brian Franz's boss is a woman.
I'm going to call them epithets because that's how bad they are. Seriously.
I mean, I was disgusted. David referred to Amanda as a whore on Thursday's episode. And in the beginning of the episode, Adam also said something that was very derogatory. And I'm tired of the guys yelling at women. I'm tired of the guys getting, why are women whores and this and that? But yet the guys are nothing.
Well, I will
Ryan's
say.
Ryan's not a whore?
I will say that when we say it, we at least have the courtesy to say whore.
Ryan's not a whore?
Yes. He is.
I'm really over this. I don't really like when women are put down like that. I don't like the double standards. But what disgusts me about All My Children right now is that all their women are weak. All their women are being used and abused. There's only one strong woman on the show.
Even Bianca is weak now.
Yeah. There's only one strong woman on the show.
Opal.
Opal! Opal, you're the only reason that I love the show this week.
I love you some Opal. I love me some Opal.
Jill Larson, you know what I love about you? Because no matter what they give you, even if they give you one line, girl, you work that line to get you an Emmy.
You know what I love about Opal?
What?
Everything.
All right, let me tell you, she rocked my world this week. That was the only thing.
Opal,
I was going to say no.
Jill Larson, you're the hottest woman on daytime right now.
We got to give Taylor some props.
Next to Taya Delgado.
We can't go into one until it right now. But wait. Taylor's a little bit strong. Even though I don't like the whole...
No, she faked it to get a man.
I know.
She faked her condition. That's not good. That's not good. And that mofo had the nerve to get offended because she faked her little blimp.
Well, he has issues. But you know what?
He faked being dead.
He has issues.
Thank you.
He's like all my children's answer to Todd.
Yeah. Are we going to do recaps?
Well, then let's start with the good thing. Let's start with Taylor and Brock, because I like Taylor and Brock this week.
You did? So did I.
See, but this is my problem.
Oh, no.
Wait.
We got to do something good.
But listen, this is my problem.
What?
I don't want Taylor with Jake. I want her with Brock. I'm rooting for her and Brock.
This is everybody's problem.
I don't want her with Jake. I have no desire to see her with Jake. I loved her and Brock. My only problem is, why isn't one of them a core? Why couldn't Brock be Timmy Dillon? I said that in a blog. It would have mean more. Like, I love the two of them, and I love their story, and I love watching them. But then I think, who are they in relationship to all my children?
Because you have brains.
Like, but do you not realize that when the two of them are together, that you realize 7 months ago neither one of them was on the show? You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, who are they to the show?
Certainly.
And the thing is, like, I don't want her with Jake. I want her with Brock.
I think everybody agrees with you, Jordan.
I don't know.
I think they do.
Well, let's talk.
Don't
about,
you?
Let's talk about Taylor
don't
and
you,
Brock.
Listeners? Taylor and Brock. When did Taylor start faking not walking? Did we discover that this week?
Yeah, we discovered that this week with Jake.
Why does Jake give a crap?
Because he's still in love with her.
No. Then he should let her keep faking. But what, like, why does he care that she's not being honest to her ex-fiance? If he loves her.
But again, if you had a real writer who was writing the storyline, this would have taken another month, and we would have seen an episode where Taylor revealed to the audience that she was faking. Because I didn't know she was faking until Jake called her, and then she admitted it.
I agree.
Again, this fast-paced storytelling.
And then all of a sudden they go to Taylor's place and they reminisce, right?
Yes, it was very Mary J. Blige.
But I liked reminiscing. It.
Remember that song by Mary J. Blige?
Reminiscing. Well, Taylor was playing a very lovely etude and they started dancing. I liked it.
Let me tell you something. They
almost kissed and I was crying.
I gotta tell you something. All y'all people are crazy. He is so good. He is so...
Why, who's criticizing
him?
Some
of the blog are still saying, like, oh, he's not an actor, but he's doing...
I'm sorry. I agree with them.
I'm sorry.
He's not an actor, but he's doing a very good job.
And Adam's an actor?
I never said Adam was an actor. I said
Brianna Fivehead Moncrief is an actress.
Brianna was an actress.
Randy Dead Behind the Eyes Hooker?
Dead Behind the Eyes Hooker was an actress. I'm saying he's not an actor. He's not.
I'm sorry. I find him very riveting.
You know who else said
riveting.
He wasn't an actor?
Who? Bitchy Beth Ellers on The View. Look, I'm sorry, but I find him to be very raw and real and captivating. And I thought this was his best work this week.
Fantastic.
Jerry Martinez, you kicked ass this week.
I fell in love, but I love her more. You know why?
Why?
Because
she enunciates.
She, yes.
Really?
Really? Her whole entire face when she talks. I'm fascinated by her face talking. But listen.
Because it is like claymation and it just moves around.
It really does. It's like the smile on her face goes from, like, literally from earlobe to earlobe.
She looks like the Joker.
A little bit.
Just a little bit?
But I'm going to say something. In all seriousness, Miss Beth Ellis, you are a class A actress, soap actress in my book. What I love about her, I'm going to tell you right now.
Okay.
What I love about her is that she gives her all, despite some of the dumbass words they give her to say.
Oh, they give her some dumbass
shit to say. I'm saying it. Shit. That's allowable in 2009.
Okay.
I'm not going to bleep that.
Good.
In
Shit. I feel like George Carlin.
But listen.
Okay.
She gives her all with every single time she's on that screen. Yeah. She gives her all, and I love it. And when she is touching him.
Pay attention, Rebecca.
Thank you. Rebecca Budding. When she was laying there with him and touching him on his chest, I swear to God, I could smell him. I could smell, like, you know, that manly smell of, like, having his uniform coat on or whatever.
I thought he looked kind of cute this week, too.
He looked adorable.
He looked very adorable.
And when she kissed him,
Oh my God. When she kissed him, I was a wreck. I was, like, literally on the edge of the sofa going, oh, my God.
But they even, so but, you know, I think it was Shadow who made the point that even when she's just dancing with him, and I'm feeling that longing from both of them because they're both doing astounding work. To me, that means so much more than seeing Nasty Greenlee and Ryan suck cream cheese off each other's lips. That was disgusting.
I need to say, I will take Taylor and Brat over Meanly and Crying any day.
Ryanzathal, absolutely.
I'm telling you, the storyline is beautiful. It's romance. It reminds me of, like, a good romance movie.
Yeah.
And you, but see, this is the problem, is that we know that they're gonna force her to go with Jake, and I think that's a big mistake.
I don't know though, because she broke my heart, man. She broke my heart when he went to leave. He couldn't take the kiss.
I think
he goes to leave. I know. She gets him. She starts to walk, and he busts her. But she begs him to come back, and she broke my heart. And he does reveal to her that he still feels ugly. And Taylor says, you know, earnestly, simply, beautifully, do I make you feel that way? You know, we are here. It's just now. It's just us. And they just kiss, and it's quiet, and I'm crying, and it's beautiful.
And guess what?
You look like you have tears in your eyes right
now.
Guess
what?
What?
You didn't need a tornado.
You didn't need a tornado?
You didn't need no special effects.
No green screen?
No nothing.
No nothing.
Nothing. Just two characters with some dialogue.
No cream cheese on the lips.
No milk?
Nothing.
I'm sorry, but Taylor and Brat, you kicked ass this week.
You were the best.
You were the best this
next
week.
Next to Miss Opal.
Oh, nothing beats Miss
Opal. Opal was some old school All My Children this week.
Yes. Well, you know what the problem, not the problem, but you know what the situation is now, is that Opal's filling that void that Ruth filled, that Phoebe filled,
that Myrtle filled,
that Mona filled. They need that elder character who's going to put people in their place.
Do you agree with me?
Do I need to even say it?
Oh, sorry.
Did you not read my proposal?
Oh, I forgot.
My new proposal with that brilliant storyline I have
you
for Brooke coming back?
Read it. He's brilliant.
Shoot.
We got to talk Brooke about... We must talk about these people now and just get it over with.
Okay.
Well,
we have to because they monopolized the week. It was all...
If we don't talk about the last, actually, the podcast
actually,
right now.
The whole last 3 weeks have been about David and Crystal. And I'm going to... I'm actually going to say something nice for a change.
Hold on. I need a sound effect for this.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So, some of the ideas and the concepts are interesting and could pay off. It's the execution that is messing this storyline up right now.
That was your compliment?
Yes. Because, look, see, I actually realized that if we found out that David was manipulating Crystal on purpose just to get back at Tad and to mess her up for revenge because he feels like she kept Babe away from him, then I believe that. And I could get into that storyline. But this thing of him loving Crystal.
He don't love her.
When they had a one-night stand and he never saw her again.
He don't love her.
And when she came to town, she didn't even realize that David was the guy that she slept with and that was Babe's father.
He don't love her.
And all of a sudden they had this... I don't buy this whole connection thing. I would have rather that Crystal got hooked on the drugs because she's in mourning. I would have bought that more. You know what I'm saying?
See, that would have been an intelligent storyline.
I would have bought more JR going off the deep end on his own.
A woman turns to drugs because in her sorrow.
And I would have bought more JR.
And implodes her marriage.
That would have been more dramatic, the two of these characters. Crystal and JR going off the deep end on their own. On their own.
Well, I don't want to talk about Angie because I don't think that storyline should even exist. So I can't
agree with
that.
Angie with whom?
You're talking about Angie going off
No, I'm talking about Crystal and JR going off... I said going off the deep end on their own.
Yes.
That I would have bought more.
Well, no, time out. What if it was like this? What if Crystal went off on the deep end and had an affair with JR?
You're sick.
No, but hear me out. JR gets close to Crystal. He's close to Babe.
Ooh, that's twisted.
You know what
Ooh,
I'm
that's
saying?
Dirty. I know what you're saying.
But
it's dirty.
But I'm not saying like do it gratuitously. Do it overtime.
Well, see, that's another problem that I have. That's another problem that I have with the storyline.
And have them go back into the drugs together. And then you could have, hear me out, then you could have almost like, I was almost thinking you have like a Leaving Las Vegas type of storyline.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But that's what I'm saying. Like that's my problem. Like, the whole J.R. Amanda
Crystal
thing.
Crystal could, like, screw up with the kids where she, like, neglects them because of her drug use or whatever.
That's what I'm saying. Like, J.R. and Amanda. J.R. and Amanda, I could have bought 6 or 7 months down the road. But now, so soon, how messed up is Amanda? I mean, it makes no sense.
And
but
I
wait,
and we are spoiler-free, but Amanda's going to get much more messed up and stupid.
We're a lot of spoiler. Well, this isn't a spoiler because everybody knows about this. So
but
I'm not.
But what I know about
Tad.
Okay. Yeah.
Everybody knows that Tad's coming back and he's going to go off on Miss Crystal.
Well, we see because we see in the preview.
Yeah, so that's not a spoiler. Everybody, it's been all over the thing. And already people are saying, like, how can... I was on this other site, which we won't mention. People were like, oh, how could Tad do that? Who's he to do that? What do you mean, who's he to do that? He comes home and finds out that his wife's sleeping with his mortal enemy and not even taking care of his two daughters. He has every damn right to throw that skank out of his house and keep her away from the kids. I'm sorry.
This doesn't have to do... You can't... See, to me... I know the whole...
She's on drugs.
No, but time out. I know the whole murder thing, Tad murdering a man, never paying for it. I know that fans are never going to get past that. That was a terrible writing decision by an evil, wicked woman who should herself... I can't say it. It's too against my good nature.
Uh-huh.
But what I'm going to say is put that aside. And I'm not saying you could put murder aside, but just let's stick it aside. It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. It should never happen.
Right.
Put it aside. Tad's ex-love, his dead love, I should say, Dixie, was also suckered by this man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's a legacy. It's a legacy of destruction that this man has caused. Of course Tad should be insane over it.
Well, another thing that people were saying was the fact that, like, Tad's passed. But you see, you people have to understand, Tad the cat who slept with Liza and her mother, that was when he was a kid, people. And yes, he did cheat on...
And that was a great storyline.
He did cheat on right? Dixie, yes. And he did cheat on Dixie when Liza came back. But again, that was like 15 years ago. He's grown. He's changed. He's a different person right now. And his priority is trying to keep his family safe.
Family.
And those are his two daughters. And I'm sorry, Crystal is a drug addict now. She should not be near her daughters. I'm so tired of people saying that the kids belong with their mother. When the mother's not capable, then you know what? The father needs to step in.
But see, you're giving credence to the storyline. I'm not giving any credence. I'm going to be honest with you. The way to me that Bobby Eakes is playing, I'm very disappointed. She's very up and down for me in terms of her performance. The only time
I think
this
that's
week,
in the writing too, though. The writing is very up and down.
I agree with you at some level. Yes, I do. Because I think at some point, Chuck Pratthole, you can only give people so... Every day does not have to be someone driving over a cliff, someone getting into a car accident, a house burning down, and then the next day there's nothing to show for it. There's no ruined car. The house is perfect. There's no ramifications. These dumbass huge big things. It gets to the point where you watch a show and you see something happen, like a gun gets pulled, and you're like, who cares? Because you know no one's gonna die, nothing's gonna happen, it's just a stunt, and I'm sick of the stunts, I'm sick of them. So yes, I agree with you, but here's a problem for me with Crystal. The only time she was good was when she was with Opal. And the reason why she was good is because she was opposite Jill Larson in a real moment.
Mm-hmm.
A real moment of a mother-in-law in her case, protecting her son. Her son is the best man in the world to his wives.
Yeah, I don't know which writer wrote those scenes, but
best
that was the best
world.
Writing of the world
the
for
whole,
that show.
That whole day was
good.
Who do you think was head writer on that
I
day?
Don't know. I don't know who
or
was writing. I don't know who was writing.
All the dialogue,
but the dialogue
was good.
Opal and Crystal's dialogue was so...
It was so good.
Oh.
And Crystal did good work at that point.
Mm.
She responded to it truthfully and realistically. Now, the only thing that went wrong for me is that Crystal actually left. I don't understand.
She's on drugs. She's a drug addict now, honey.
I don't understand.
She's a druggie. She's a druggie.
It's so stupid, though. She, do you really believe she's a drug addict?
She's a
come
druggie.
On now. So stupid.
She needs that milk.
Yeah, no kidding. But isn't it so stupid?
I need that milk.
Am I right?
Give me my milk.
I need a hit.
I need a hit.
I need a hit of milk.
Give me that udder. Moo. It reminds me of Rant. Maureen's song on Rant. Moo. Jump over the moon. Remember that? Did you ever see Rant?
I never saw Rent. I never saw it once in my life. Jordan. Jordan wants to go.
You tacky bitch. I cannot believe that you've never seen Rent. I've lost all respect for you. God. Rent is one of the classics, not the movie.
562,600
minutes. I love
that's all
Rent.
All I know.
Let me tell you something. Into the Woods was my favorite musical up
into
until
the
Rent.
Into the Woods.
You know Into the Woods?
Yes.
I love. Let me tell you something.
I've only seen a college production of it. Not good.
Well, nothing's better than the original Broadway production with Bernadette Peters.
Bernadette Peters, what are you
and Miss Joanna Gleason.
What are you going to do?
I mean, you know what I saw
Patty
this
LuPone,
week?
N69 loves Patty LuPone. He sent us her album.
Yeah, I'm not. I have to say, I'm not a big Patty fan.
Uh-oh.
I don't dislike her. I think she's talented.
Hold on. I got to cover the mic.
I don't think she. I think she's very talented. She just. I'm more Bernadette.
N69, close your ears. Earmuffs.
Sorry, N69. I'm more Bernadette. I'm a more Bernadette Peters fan. I love me some Bernadette.
All right, fine. Do I need to recap this Dab storyline?
But wait, we got to first tell them while we were away on Christmas, Crystal told David, don't make me mad. You don't want to see me when I get mad. And then her eyes turned green and she bulked up like the She-Hulk and she started destroying the house. Did you see that episode? It was so awful. And she
you must
like,
have been watching my high definition.
And she knocked down the Christmas tree. You didn't see that episode?
It was retarded.
It was so, I thought she was, she looked like she was the She-Hulk. She went, she was knocking.
I thought it was
all
fake.
All I did was laugh my ass off.
I laughed because I thought
it was
fake.
Like, She-Hulk.
Fake.
Oh, this show.
I didn't believe it for a second.
Those episodes during the holidays were awful.
How many times
I'm glad we don't have to recap them.
The same thing happen over and over.
Like what?
Candles burning after someone knocks candles over and something burns down. How many times I gotta see this crap? Have you ever knocked over a candle in your house and it caught fire? That's my test. That's my true test.
That's a stereotype that every Puerto Rican has a candle in their house.
Thank you. We don't do the Santeria.
I have a candle, but I never lit it. Somebody gave it to me as a gift, and it's just lying there with
my
dust.
My point, people, is I want to see stuff that happens. I ain't never in my life knocked over no candle and had it light up and light up the house like a Christmas tree. Never. It happens, I know. But it happens every freaking week on All My Children. Sick of it. Sick of it.
Okay, let's start.
We're like 82 minutes into the show and we haven't even started to recap.
Well, we recapped the good stuff.
All right, listen. Well, at the beginning of the week, we had Jake tearing down David, the new a-hole. He told him he was pathetic. You're pathetic, Dave.
And do you think David actually cared what he
pathetic.
Said? As arrogant as David is, do you think that cut David up?
No. You know, it's funny because do you remember when, well, Crystal rushes Opal to the hospital because that's the other thing that happens every other week. Someone's having a heart attack every other
week.
Well,
that's because Opal's doing her Sanford and Son impersonation. She's like, Ray, I'm coming to join you.
It's true. I think personally she's thinking about Langley Wallingford, but that's just me.
Oh, did you remember? For those of you who don't know, Opal and Langley did the D. That was Dorothy Lyman's.
The best storylines
ever. That was Dorothy Lyman's Opal, though.
Because Langley Wallingford was married to Phoebe. He schemed his way. He was like a lowlife.
Yes.
And he schemed his way into Phoebe's life, passing himself off as like this professor type. Yeah. So then Opal, who was the original schemer, comes in and schemes him. Yes. She wants his money. She thinks he has money, so she has this affair with him, but then she finds out he ain't got no money.
But the thing was also when she was running for mayor.
Oh my
And she was
gosh.
Like, if you want a fair deal partner, then you vote for Opal Gardner. Oh, I miss the old days. Those are the good old days.
Anyway, Opal has a heart attack because she heard the news about Tad being stuck and all that stuff. And so Crystal's there, but then Jake and JR. They quizzed that hooah, Crystal, like Alex Trebek quizzes the contestants on Jeopardy.
It was very NYPD blue. I don't know.
It would have been so much fun if there was like a big shiny light and Crystal was sitting at a table with handcuffs. I would have loved it.
But what kills me is that the two of them tag team her, but there was no mention about their own issues with each other.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time that the two of them have seen each other since JR decked them at the club.
That's right.
And it was like nothing. Like that never happened.
Nothing.
Like that never happened.
Do you know what our bloggers pointed out too?
What?
Very astute.
What?
Our bloggers?
Yeah.
That Kathy and Jenny were Opals on Christmas Eve?
Let me tell you something. Kathy and Jenny were everywhere but with Crystal
Disgusting.
At home.
Disgusting. Disgusting. This is Kathy's first Christmas in the Martin household.
Well, see.
Disgusting. And other thing disgusting, we had no Christmas anywhere in Pine Valley.
Or New Year's Eve, really.
Or New Year's Eve, except for that dumbass, weird, sucking ear thing that Zach did. He, like, sucked Reese's ear or some crap like that.
Come here, you lesbian.
His hair look really good this week.
What?
What's that about?
What?
Why you talk about our booby uncle like that? Making slurpy sounds.
I was talking about Reese. I was doing Zach going for Reese.
Oh, I got you.
You know, I saw her in person the other day on the street. What? Bianca.
Oh, yeah?
The camera does add pounds. She looks...
No. I'm going to tell you something.
She looks a lot bigger on air than she does in person. She looks very healthy in person.
You people? Notice the red...
She's got a nice figure.
No, notice the red palms.
Who?
Bianca.
You think she's anorexic?
I think she's going back.
You're a crackhead. I just saw her yesterday. She has a full figure. She looks good.
She doesn't. You just said she's thinner in person. That's because she's thinner now.
She's losing a little weight. On the show, she looks hefty.
When I saw her
on the street yesterday, she looked
good.
She's
losing weight from when she first started. I guarantee it.
She looks good in my eyes
yesterday. It's all in the palms. Them red ass palms give away anorexia anytime.
Unlike Miss Tamara Braun, who I'm sure if I saw on the street.
Well, her palms are redder than...
I'm sure if I saw her on the street, I think she's
an apple.
I think she's a stop sign.
Tamara Braun? What? She's a hand talker.
She hasn't been getting sleep either. She has a lot of...
She got black under eyes and she's a hand talker. Do you even notice her hands? She does not say one sentence without using her hands.
Leave her alone.
Her hands are all over the place.
They put her in a very flattering outfit, though, this week, finally.
You mean she didn't look like a beanpole?
No, they put her in this beautiful black outfit.
You mean she didn't look like a 14-year-old boy?
No. She looked very good in that black outfit. I'm surprised because you're like Mrs. Blackwell. You're always critiquing the fashion. That outfit looked good on her because it complimented her figure.
That's bold. They took it from Kendall's wardrobe. Kendall was wearing them same leggings when she got blown away by the tornado. She was. And the same boots.
All right, we gotta get through with this. All right, come on.
Fine. So listen.
Because I want to talk about One Night to Live.
Of course, like, it's not even really worth recapping. I mean, basically, Crystal the Hua goes to see David. Well, now, after the whole hospital bit, why does she go to see David again? I don't know. In the middle
she
of
needs
the day,
her milk.
Is it night? Oh, yes, that's right. He gave her her meth milk.
Yeah, she needs the milk.
Oh, I get it. And he tells her, she just looks at him. They now have eye signals. She just looks at him, and he goes, yeah, it's in there. I mean, that's why she doesn't have to ask by name. It's true. So anyway, so then they decide that Hua Crystal says she ain't going to the party with David. Who does she go to the party with?
David,
the casino party. David is wearing a velvet brown tuxedo. I liked it. He's just rolling his eyes at Jordan Hudson. Jordan Hudson, this is a microphone.
I'm over David.
They can't hear you rolling your eyes.
I rolled them again.
All right. So listen, or was it purple? Was it purple? Might have been purple.
Okay.
What?
I don't remember David's color.
Well, listen, our bloggers were commenting.
You know what I remembered? I remember that I liked Scarlett. She was not dead behind the eyes. The hooker that Petey hired, I liked her. They should make her a regular.
Fine.
She was fun.
Well, listen, I liked the outfits at the casino party. Very good. Erica Kane blew me away in that purple dress. Holy cow. 63, I think.
Carmen looked hot.
Carmen looked beautiful. Did you catch? And that's another thing. Another thing. I gotta see a woman fainting again every day, every week on All My Children.
Who fainted?
Crystal. She gets good news and she faints.
That was stupid.
She gets news that Tad's okay and he's coming back at some point.
It would have been funny if Tad said, I'm outside, honey. Then that would give her a reason to faint.
I wish we could have seen Jeff and Jamie somehow. I know it's not going to happen.
Please,
not realistic.
We can't even see Tad right now.
I know, right?
You're asking for Jeff and Jamie. I'd settle for Tad.
I can't wait till Tad comes home.
It was just so unbelievable. I mean, I know that he needed a vacation and they were in contract negotiations, but they picked the worst time to write his character out because it made no sense that he would leave. You know, because Jake mentioned it to his father. All of a sudden, Jake mentioned it to Joe and said, I should have been the one to go. Yeah, you should have been the one to go. That's your brother and your nephew. How are you gonna write that? I don't know, because they looked at the blog and they saw them. That was part of my storyline. Because I said that Jake and Brooke went to go get them, not Tad, because Jake would tell Tad, you have a wife and two kids. Mm-hmm. Idiots.
Now, I'm going to switch over to JR for a second. JR gets drunk in front of Dead Behind the Eyes Colby. Oh, my God. Really bad, people.
All right, I know the writing's really bad, Jacob Young, but that does not mean that you have to, like... His performance has been so...
Off
the meter. Like, do you not feel like he's over the top at times and so hammy?
And that was my point, actually. This is what happened,
people. I know the writing's bad, but I don't know what you're thinking, Jacob Young. This is what happened. The choices you're making.
He ends up going to the casino party with Amanda, and she looks like a goddess from above. She's one of the actresses on All My Children that gets better and better looking every show. What you think, she just can't look more beautiful? She comes in the next day with an outfit, looks more beautiful. She's amazing. Anyway, he takes a drink of champagne around her, and she decides to bring him home, right? Am I right?
No, she didn't decide to bring him home. He went off on everybody. He went off on his father. He went off on Colby. He almost hit Greenlee because she mentioned Babe.
Who did?
Greenlee.
No, JR did?
Yeah. Oh, you didn't see that thing, girl? Ryan and her were gossiping about him. And I love the fact that he was like in the other room, but he heard her. And he got up on her face. What was that? What did you say about Babe? Because Ryan goes, oh, JR is drinking and making a fool of himself. And then Greenlee is like, well, what do you expect? Babe was the only thing holding him together. And JR heard that and went up to her. And he knew he was going to bitch slap her.
Well, here's what I get pissed off. I get pissed off at this whole Amanda playing the victim. Are you people annoyed at that as I am? Amanda did not have to do this thing for... She acts like she was manipulated into doing this.
I already told you my feelings about that.
She did this only for money.
Yeah,
I could see if she did it to protect somebody else, or if she made a deal with the devil kind of thing.
Or if David was blackmailing her.
If David was blackmailing her, that would be somewhat understandable. But she's like going around saying that David is so evil. Well, Amanda, you're evil. I'm sorry. And I don't mean to blame the character, because I actually think this is something the character would not ever do. I agree with you, Jordan. Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah. It's character, again, another episode of character assassination. But I am tired of hearing her say that she's, you know, the victim of David. That's bull.
Well, remember
during
the holidays?
That's a bunch of bull.
The holidays, when he was proud of her for what she did, and she went like this, she goes, you're mean, or something like that. It was so corny. Like, that was your big comeback, Amanda. You couldn't think of something else to call him.
How did she take video on her cell phone of JR getting drunk? I never saw that phone come out. Did you see that?
Bad storytelling.
Made me so mad. So then, I mean, I'm kind of skipping around here. We've kind of talked about all this, but at this point, Crystal finally decides to get her ass home, where she belongs. Uh-huh. And then doesn't she have that whole thing with David, where he comes over for a second, he follows her home for a second, and why am I missing
so.
This?
Yeah,
I'm
like
missing
some stuff. She was in the apartment by herself, and David banged on the door, and then that's when she admitted to David that she was. That she felt bad because she felt like, oh my God, I don't want him to come back. And she confessed to him that she realized that she doesn't love Tab the way she's supposed to, and that they're not, you know, that kind of lovers. That she doesn't feel about Tad the way she feels about him. Really horrible.
I know why I'm confused. Because I forgot where Opal first confronted. Before that happened, Opal first confronted Crystal at the party. That's right.
And Crystal denied it like Cleopatra, Queen of Denial.
That's right. But listen... I was actually really pissed because the writers had Crystal tell Opal to butt out. And I was like, that is so disrespectful. Crystal would never say that to Opal.
Yes, but this is Crystal hooked on milk.
It's very, very
so
dangerous.
Crystal hooked on milk is a different thing. You don't want to make her mad. Don't make her...
Make her mad.
She hook.
But Opal says to her, and I love this, she says, now look, I'm sorry about your grief. I know what it's like to lose a daughter. But when Jenny died, I wished my husband could have been half the man that yours is. And he's coming home soon, so don't you forget it.
Thank you, Miss Jill Lawson.
Oh, she's so
good. A tip of the hat to you, Miss Jill Lawson.
Anyway. And in the meantime, JR is hooting it up with that hooah that Petey brought to the party.
Jacob Young, don't dance. Please don't dance. Even though your butt looked really bodacious for some reason.
I made a note of that.
What?
That Zach tried to throw drunk JR out of the party, but drunk JR was busy sticking his ass out in defiance.
Yeah, I didn't know what that was about. I liked it.
His ass was sticking out.
I like me some booty, but don't dance, Jacob Young. Don't dance.
Jacob Young overdid it a little bit.
Overdid it?
He's like slurring everything. Look, I'm having a drink because I want to.
Honey.
Who the hell wouldn't?
Honey.
If they had a rat bastard father,
honey,
like Adam.
Stick a fork in him, he's done. He is the biggest half. He was horrible this week. I just told you guys I thought that poor Jacob Young has been like awful this last 2 weeks. What?
Where the hell are Zach's bouncers? He don't have no bouncers at a casino.
They can't afford it.
Oh, you got a point.
Ew.
That's when Amanda takes JR to the yacht.
Yes.
And that's when he says that Dave is right, that he doesn't deserve Babe's son. And then him and
that line. But did that line, I don't know. He didn't deserve Babe's son. That's your son too, you idiot. I didn't like that line.
Then that's when Crystal goes home and admits to David that she doesn't love Dad.
Right.
Duh. I did like that moment though. At least it was honest. Then she kicks him out and she throws the charm he gave her.
Yeah.
Now, what?
That's crystal on milk.
But but time out. Here's
one minute she loves you, David. The next minute she hates you.
But
that's
Jordan
the milk talking.
Jordan Hudson.
What?
David clearly doesn't love her because when she threw that dumbass charm at him that cost all of $9.99 at Walmart, he didn't say nothing.
He smiled.
He smiled.
And that's when
and
I got
he twirled and his mustache.
And that's when I got the idea that maybe he was doing this on purpose to get back at her as revenge. And that I will buy.
That really
I will
good.
Buy. That's what I said at the beginning of this
podcast. Oh, sorry. Oh, now I gotta bleep that.
That's what I said at the podcast. And you were like, no, no, no. Now you agree with me? You are psychos and insanity.
I don't know what I want.
A psycho, Zanny. You're as psycho as crystal on milk.
I don't know what I want. I'm like Crystal Carey. I don't know what I want. I want it to end. I want the madness to end.
Oh, but it doesn't. It only gets worse from here on.
I had another moment that I liked this week, people.
What?
Amanda waking up naked and realized that she had yet again whored herself out. I liked it. There was a quiet moment that she realized where she woke up, and then she went over to JR, who was already dressed. I liked it. I liked her naked. She's beautiful. And then, Colby, that's when everything gets ruined because dead behind the eyes, Colby comes in and tries to rescue JR.
Oh, my God. Those scenes were so bad. Oh, my God. How does this girl still have a job? I mean, her scenes with JR at the party and with Adam and with him at the and with JR, they are... It's like, I just want to take those paddles from Grey's Anatomy and go clear, boom, and try to shock some life into her.
All right, I'm
or at least shock some life into her forehead so her brain could get some activity. I'm sorry. She's horrible.
She's terrible.
She is horrible, people.
We heard the rumor, though.
What?
About why Amber left.
Yes, everybody was posting
those two
rumors. It does seem like that rumor
rings true, but...
And, well, but people were asking, well, who's gay and who's black? Well, black would be Frankie,
and gay would be Sean.
Nope.
Sorry. There's a little rumor about that.
No, and I'm telling you that's not true. But Sean is gay. The actor who plays Sean is gay. He is a mo if ever there was any. You could just look at him. The way he pranced around, he makes Petey look straight.
I changed my mind. Petey's really gay. My life.
You think he is?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a fact.
I think he looks a lot more straight than Sean does. Sean Montgomery was the biggest mo. Looked like he was more interested in Dre than Kobe.
He probably was. Here's my question for you.
What?
No, here's my comment.
What?
I take it back about leaving Las Vegas. I know who I wanted leaving Las
Vegas
for.
Wait, and the other on the blog, the other comment that was As the World Turns.
The other rumor, you mean?
The other rumor.
What was
rumor? There's some Emmy nominated actress got strangled by the co-star, and then the role was recast 3 times. I'm assuming that was Miss Katie McClain because Meg was never given an Emmy, so Katie did get the Emmy. So Katie will be the Emmy award actress.
Your life strangled?
That's what the rumor was, and because then
was she
I told
an
you. I don't know, but all I know is that they said the role was recast 3 times in a year.
Something?
That was Craig Montgomery.
Can I say something?
Craig's been recast 3 times.
Can I say
what?
Something? That's a storyline. Am I right?
I've often said that the drama behind the soaps is much more interesting than the soaps at this point.
But I'm rescinding. I don't want Crystal and JR to be leaving Las Vegas. Crystal and JR needed to beat each descend down the hill of addiction and do it together and start making love and all that stuff. That would have been astounding. Plus, I love the older woman, younger man lovemaking thing. That's awesome.
Oh, I'm all
I
for.
Really hope that
I'm
teacher
over,
starts having sex with Star.
I'm over.
You heard me. I hope that teacher, Mr. J, has sex with Star Manning. I love it. It's awesome. But here's my thing.
He's old enough to be her father.
No, he's not. He's young. He's like in his 20s.
She's 17 or
he's
16.
He's in his 20s. He's delicious. That's perfect. Perfect.
That's one night to live. We all cannot right, talk, we about talk about that. Now listen, I got her hook. Listen. She's like crystal on milk.
I love it.
All she wants to do is talk about one night to live.
I love it. But here's my thing.
What?
Leaving Las Vegas, I could see Amanda. Do you remember how Nicolas Cage? And
I did
what's
not
his name?
See that movie.
You didn't see
I
it.
I do not like bald head, bald receding Mr. Nicolas Cage. I do not think he's a good actor. And Miss Elizabeth Shue, I only liked her in Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh my God, I can't talk about it. You stay away from the microphone for a second. This is my show now. In Leaving Las Vegas, Miss Elizabeth Shue and Mr. Nicolas Cage were dating. He was an alcoholic, and she was a hooker. She was a whore. And what she did
did
was
she work with Randy?
No.
Did they have the same pimp?
No. She loved him. She loved Nicolas Cage so much, but she knew that he was just a desperate, determined alcoholic and addict. He was never going to be anything else.
That sounds like Randy and
Frankie. So what she did was she absolutely allowed him to drink. She didn't encourage him. She wasn't trying to kill him, but there was one scene where they go to make love, and she just pours like a bottle of grain alcohol down his throat, and he's loving it. But it was very powerful because, listen, you would like it. It was very powerful because it wasn't that she was trying to destroy him or hurt him, and she knew what he was doing wasn't right, but it was the only way he could stay alive. And that's how much she loved him. And I think that this would be an interesting Amanda move to see if, Amanda just, resigned herself to JR's alcoholism and just continued to love him through it.
Honey, that's...
Interesting.
That's too...
Sorry! He's got a boo-boo on his finger. I just hit it.
I was like, ready to boom!
Oh, my God.
No, honey, that's...
Isn't that good?
Yeah, but, honey... That's too rich and deep for all my children right now. Chuck Pratt can't write stuff like that. That's
why
more.
Not?
That's more Ron C. One Night. That's what's going on One Night to Live. That you know what you're doing is that you're watching One Night to Live and you're inspired by the great writing on that and you're trying to interpret how you can transfer that over to all my children.
I think it'll be
and
amazing.
I'll tell you how you could transfer it over to all my children. Fire Chuck Pratt and bring on Lorraine Broderick, Claire Levine, Donna Swajewski. I can list a number of head writers that could do a better job.
Should we talk I have one quick interlude about Petey and his whore.
I liked her. I want more Scarlet.
I liked her. But I like this week he was going through that realization of Colby not liking him despite all the changes he's made. Because now he's I don't know if people haven't been watching, because you know that we watch.
So you don't have to.
Petey has changed his look so that he could attract her, and she's not attracted to him. So he's all upset over that. And he gets home at one point and he looks in the mirror without his glasses, and then he breaks them because he's so upset because he just feels like a loser. And he brings his hooker to the casino party because he thinks that, you know, he'll have a date that'll make Colby jealous, and she don't get jealous. And he brings the hooker home, and the hooker wants to give him his money's worth.
She's like, you didn't get your, you got me for the whole night.
She's like, you didn't get your happy ending. Did she say that? That would have been funny.
She was cute. I liked her.
But whatever.
She was fun.
So then
I'd do her.
But he told her, but he didn't want to do her because he's in love with Colby. He's
I think he was gay.
The actor. I didn't say that.
Who are you, Rosie O'Donnell?
Listen.
Don't be shouting people out when you don't know for sure if they are or they aren't.
All right, fine. I take it back.
Tom Cruise.
Ah, you're going to get us sued. Anyway. Didn't you? That's not true. I'm bleeping that because that is so not true. I love him. Love him.
I don't like him.
Get over yourself. Listen.
Six degrees of 7 pounds.
Oh, God. Listen. Petey said that he was going to spend the rest of his life trying to get Colby. And if that is true,
I'm going to kill myself because I cannot deal
with my whole life
with Colby.
I might actually go to the station where they film it and shoot him. Because I just can't take a storyline where he's spending the rest of his life trying to get Colby.
I might be moving to Canada.
Can you imagine Colby growing old and gray on the show and still delivering lines the same way? With that dead man eyes glazed look.
I can't even do it.
You can't even do it.
I was going to say something, but I can't even say it with a straight face. I'm moving to Canada.
With Nelson Bronco, your favorite.
No.
I like Nelson Bronco.
I don't know who this Nelson Bronco is.
Bronco.
But I got to tell you, I'm, you know
His
what?
His only problem is he likes All My Children right now.
Colby actually had a line that was and really great.
And we have
great.
Some great people in Canada.
Wait.
We could go see Terry in Toronto. We could go see Elise and Susan.
I know. Let me tell you something, though.
What?
Colby had a great line during the holidays.
What?
She told David, I know she told, she was talking to Adam and JR about seeing David with Crystal. She said, it was like being in a parallel universe. And that's when I feel like when I read that Nelson Bronco is praising Chuck Pratt. And when I read that Marlena, because somebody in our block, I think it was either Shadow or N69 Norton, I think they posted a link. I didn't know that Marlena had like a website. Because Marlena, for those of you who don't know, wrote a column in Soap Opera Weekly.
Marlena Delacroix.
When Mimi Torchin was the editor there. And right after I would read Mimi Connor, I would go to Marlena's column. And I had the utmost respect for Marlena. And Marlena, you broke my heart. I don't know if it's because the years have gone by and you're getting a little hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. But I mean, the fact that you praised Chuck Pratt in your column really disturbed me. Because how anybody could say that what Chuck Pratt is doing right now is good, is I just don't get it. I don't understand it. But no, I think I need to go to Canada because I think my love, my true love is in Canada.
Who's your true love?
I don't know. I have to go to Canada to find them.
Canada's a great country.
No, everybody I'm attracted to is Canadian lately.
That's because the
Rachel
people.
McAdams, the Ashmore twins.
Good actors, good people, good country. I like it.
There's a bunch.
Except you guys have a crazy prime minister now. I think they have a crazy prime minister
And they
now.
Have better health coverage than us.
Better? Are you kidding me? Everybody gets health coverage
and
in Canada.
Did you not see the guys on MVP? They were hot. I need to go to Canada. I need to get sex.
You should call Terry.
Or love. Terry, where should I go?
I need. Susan.
I really do think that my soulmate is in Canada, and I need to go to Canada.
Oh, Canada!
I'm being serious. Jordan had a very sad, lonely Christmas, New Year's, and I'm tired of being single. I need.
It's a great anthem. It's my favorite anthem.
I'm moving to Canada.
We're going to Canada. Do we need to talk about David and Crystal again?
This is what happens. With them?
This is what happens.
Oh, that whole story, messy story. All right,
this is what happens.
You gotta speed through this. Look at the time.
We go and then Colby tries to find JR or Crystal tries to find something. They find that ore, the broken ore.
No. Amanda goes to the hospital of all places to get Jake to help her.
Oh, because
what was that? First of all, why would you go to the hospital to get help?
Make it quick because I can't.
Why, Amanda? Why would you go to the hospital? Now, why not go to Adam? Why not go to somebody that actually gives a damn about JR? You go to the hospital of all places and get Jake, who called you a whore.
Well, basically, JR captures David after their little incident and takes him and ties him up to David.
Wait, because we forgot to tell them David actually showed up the day after Amanda and JR slept together. And told Amanda to go and leave him with JR. And that's when David and JR seemed to go Brokeback Mountain as they were rubbing their chests together to see who had the biggest chest.
Did you know David
or
is
the biggest belly?
Did you know David is a concert penis?
He's a constant penis?
Concert penis.
He's a constant penis?
Concert penis.
He's a constant penis? Yes, he is a constant penis.
Listen, he plays that piano like nobody's business. He is the best penis in the
wait,
show.
Oh, wait, that was during the break.
Yeah.
Okay, that episode scared me. I thought I was watching
he
Dark
Shadows.
He
played today, though, didn't he? He played on Friday's episode.
I'm talking about that episode in the holidays where Crystal wakes up on the sofa and David's like playing, and I thought I was watching an old episode of Dark Shadows. It was the most stupidest thing I ever saw in my
life. I
love
David the concert penis. I love it.
I like David the constant penis.
And what I love, I hate David's constant penis. I really do. What I loved, that's again when Opal. Then at that point, he's in love with that constant penis.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna be quite cool. I'm sorry.
Listen, this is the part. That's when Opal comes to. Oh my goodness. That's when Opal comes to the house.
Ooh, I love
that's when she goes on lock. She puts Crystal on lockdown. That's when she says, "While Tad's gone, you need someone to keep an eye on you. If you want to leave this house for any reason, you have to go through me, Missy." And what happens? JR calls Crystal and says, "Go to Wildwind." And then while Crystal is with Opal doing laundry or some crap like that, in the back of her mind, she hears JR saying, "Go to Wildwind, 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 Wildwind."
Look, she made very quick about that scene, but for those of you who didn't watch, you need to like YouTube it or something, because those scenes were good. Opal had a lot more to say to Crystal, and I love those scenes, especially when Crystal tried to throw the blame at Tad, and she was like, maybe if Tad hadn't left, and Miss Jill Larson didn't miss a beat, she just looked and said, "Oh, don't you put the blame on him." I was like, "Work, Opal."
She was great.
That's what we need, because Ruth's not around. Because that's something Ruth would have done.
What wasn't great was JR shooting that dumbass gun at the ceiling. He finds David's gun. He's looking
those
for booze.
Scenes were so. JR has beaten up David with
an
oar.
He really beat him, though.
No, he knocked him out with an oar because Jake and Amanda found a bloody oar at the boat.
That's right.
So JR ties him up to a piano, and those scenes were horrible between the two of them.
If Jake found the bloody oar, why didn't Jake go with Amanda to?
Because they couldn't afford to pay for them in the next episode. Oh, yeah. Did you not notice that you have not seen Jake and Amanda at all?
Yeah, that's true.
But they found the bloody in their oar. They went like this. "Oh, well, do you want some fish and chips?"
Yes. But here's my problem. Why? You know, you see JR, first of all, as our ass tube bloggers noticed, JR is perfectly coiffed. He's perfectly spray tanned. He's perfectly teeth bleached. Everything about him is perfect. He's supposed to be a drunk mess.
He's a little bloated, though. He has that alcoholic bloated belly.
But he's sitting there just saying dumb words that we know he's not going to shoot David. He doesn't hit him once. He doesn't hold the gun to his forehead. He does nothing threatening. He just, "Blah, blah, blah, blah. I hate you, David."
And then he says, shut up. And he goes, shut up, David.
That's all he does. Boring. I wanted to see him go Marty on him. Marty and McBain on Tad.
Okay, you again are bringing up Where I to
Live.
But
it was so well done. They beat the shit out of Tad. That man was a bloody pope. I loved it. That was good. That was good.
That's the way we would have handled it in the Bronx.
That's right. Down Bronx justice. You know what I'm saying? Then we have... Oh, this was pretty fun. We got a little Kathy on Friday. Kathy asked Opal if Crystal was going to tuck her in. But no, that whore, Crystal, is with David. And then Tad comes home. He looks good. He looks thinner. His hair's grayer or longer. He looks good. Yes, no.
Yes, he did. But my whole thing is like, when the hell did Kathy all of a sudden love Crystal? First of all, Tad has been gone. And Crystal hasn't even spent any time with her. She's been at Opal's and Roos all the time. So when the hell did her and Kathy bond? And where was that storyline where Kathy didn't like her?
I know.
Bad writing. I am not amused.
No, but I'm going to agree with Elise and Susan because there were some good moments. I want to celebrate the good moments. And the good moments were Tad coming home and kissing Kathy to death. And then Opal was so funny. She skedaddles out because she knows exactly where Crystal is. And she wants to tell her to get her ass home. And he jokes around with Kathy. And they make little jokes. And Tad says, "Where'd you learn that joke, Kathy?" And she says, "I learned it from Dr. David. He told me that joke, Daddy." And Tad knows. Well, what was Dr. David doing here? Dr. David spent Christmas with us. I mean, it was fantastic. I thought that was fantastic. And Tad is so good an actor. Michael Knight is so good an actor. And he was so subtle. Everything just registered in his face. It was beautiful. Beautiful.
And Kathy was like, "Daddy, did you know that Dr. David's a constant penis?" I can get tired of that. I love that.
That would have been fun. But did I tell you what I loved? I loved Opal walking in on David and Crystal making out. Mm-hmm. And then Crystal says, "Opal, it's not what you think." What the hell? He was taking off her jacket. They were about to have sex right there on that floor. It's not what Opal thinks.
That's the same thing that Kendall told Zach and Greenlee about her and Adam, didn't she? It's not what you think. He tripped on the branch and his penis fell into my vagina.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. I don't want to talk about either Binks or Reese or either Greenlee or Ryan. Why?
All right, I'm going to say this, guys. We're not going to talk about Greenlee and Ryan because I don't like Greenlee and Ryan. I think they're boring. I think they're horrible. I think it's forced. I think it makes no sense. I don't like it. If you want to talk about it, feel free. As far as Bianca and Risco, real simple. Character assassination. Bianca's being made to... Now, again, I would have bought this storyline if they would have played it out over time.
Don't you want to talk about Greenlee and Ryan having disgusting cream cheese sex?
No.
She looked hot.
No,
she's a beautiful, perfect
man. Listen to me.
She sucked some kind of cream cheese.
Do you
want to
talk about them? Because you can talk about them, and I'll walk away.
I want to say one thing.
All right, go ahead. I'm.
He's walking away.
La 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 la.
She had Greenlee. I don't know if she put cream cheese or some cream from the coffee on Ryan's upper lip and then sucked it off.
She put on Ryan's milk. Oh!
Disgusting. It was revolting. I felt the body. You know, we're supposed to have a slut metric moment every so often. That was the reverse of a slut metric moment.
It destroyed the slut metric.
It really did.
It went like the Flintstones whenever a machine failed on the Flintstones and it just went.
Disgusting.
That's what the slut metric did.
And then here's what kills me. Ryan is married. They had a little scene in the casino where Jerkson came in and said that both their divorces were going through. But Ryan and Greenlee are married. And they're flirting all over town. Flitting all over town together. And Emma barely has a Christmas because they're screwing around. What the hell is going on with these people? What is wrong? And then Greenlee is upset because Ryan suggests that Emma shouldn't see her walking out of the house or walking down the stairs in his pajama top. What kind of crack are these people on? And then finally, my biggest insult is why does nobody think that a 4 or 5-year-old would be a little concerned to have a new mommy when her old mommy is gone? Why should Emma be okay with this crap with Greenlee? She loves Greenlee. She wants Greenlee to be her new mommy. That's ridiculous. I don't care. At 5 years old, if your mother's gone, you're going to start acting out. You're going to be pissed off. You're not going to accept some new woman into your husband's life or your father's life. He's not saying nothing. He knows I'm right.
I told you I'm not commenting on this stupid storyline. I hate Ryan and Greenlee.
I hate Ryan the dog. And I hate Jerkson and Carmen.
No, you hate Jerkson. You do not hate Carmen.
I hate him with Carmen.
Carmen, let me tell you, what a waste of a... This is another thing that pisses me off about Chuck Pratt. Whatever you say about Barbara and James, they gave us a good Erica storyline. They made Erica grow up, and they gave us this beautiful character with Carmen and a beautiful storyline about two women being friends. And in one swoop, Chuck Pratt destroyed all that. Mm-hmm. And that's why I will not give him a chance. I'm sorry, Elise and Susan, but I cannot. He is an ass. He is a Pratt hole for what he did to Carmen and Erica. And I hate what he's done to the character of Erica. Because you know what? I know what you're saying about this over... There's a difference between Dorian and when she meddles in her children's and her niece's affairs and the way Erica is doing this. Because Erica has no grounding to be spreading rumors. It is so stupid that she's spreading rumors about Zach and Reese. It makes no sense. Now, if this storyline would have been played out over time, I could have believed it. You know what I mean? Like, if over time, you know... Because nobody's perfect. Even Bianca and Stuart are not perfect human beings. Even they are going to get jealous at times. I could buy that. But what I'm not going to buy is the stupidity of this situation. One of the problems is because we do know that there is some kind of flirtation going on between Zach and Reese. And that annoys me right there. Because as we said, a lot of our bloggers agree with me on this. Why couldn't it be that she found another woman attractive? Why does it have to be yet again that Bianca's fall for another woman who's questioning her sexuality? We've been there. We've done that before. Move on.
It also makes me feel like ABC is not committed to a gay
storyline. Yes, not committed to a gay storyline. Exactly. So. Aswell turns is the same problem. That's how Luke and Noah met. Noah wasn't sure about his sexuality. Why can't you just have two gay characters meet and fall in love? Damn
it. I should recap this for people a little bit.
First,
in the beginning of the week, we see Erica came packing up from the Chandler mansion, and Adam kicks her out anyway. I don't really care about this at all.
And he's charging her?
So stupid. Don't even comment on it.
Oh, God.
So then we cut to Reese in her overalls and hard hat, looking like a 14-year-old boy. And Reese's hat is all focacta. It's on, like, her head.
Focaccia.
I love that word. The people in Brooklyn, a lot of Italians here, they love that word, focaccia. It's focaccia.
I love that word. I haven't heard it in
a while.
But
it's all focaccia. And she looks like Stuart Chandler a little bit. The way it's like...
The way Stuart always has that one collar in and one collar out.
You know, and then Zach, of course, so that way Zach can tell her that she looks like crap. And so he gives her a makeover. And it's so... And then she gets a makeover. And she, like, dances for him. And it's so obvious Oh, I love the point where she comes out and all the workers start to fake ogle her. See all the extras like fake ogling her? Mm-hmm. It was so corny. Oh my god. And then Reese slow-mo dances in her children size 14 body in front of Zach, and Boo Bianca is flabbergasted. And then Reese and Boo Bianca kiss and giggle, but Boo Bianca's very upset. And that's when I noticed Reese's hand talking. She's a hand talker. Just notice. Next time, people, I want you to set your VCRs and notice the hand talking. Every sentence is accentuated
with something. It's not that.
The hand movement.
You keep missing the fact that Annie's father's in the room, so she's signing to him.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe the hearing impaired in the audience.
Or maybe the fact that Spike might not have his cochlear implant on, so she's signing to Spike.
Maybe.
She's like, Spike, it's time you learn, because that cochlear implant's not always going to work. You never know when there's going to be a blackout or the battery's going to run out.
Can I say that Boo Bianca? that Boo Bianca was way Boo Bianca in that dress. She was very Boo Bianca in that dress. The red dress at the casino?
She was very... What is the word? Bountiful.
Oh. We did not
There's some mountains that are just too majestic for anybody to climb.
We did not talk about Greenlee and Ryan's idea of a double wedding.
Yes, we know that ABC cannot afford two weddings, so that's the solution.
Is it disgusting Horrible. Or is it disgusting?
Why would these two couples get married together?
I don't know.
I could understand it if it was Leo and Greenlee, because Leo and Bianca had a relationship.
I could never understand it in a million years. I would never want to share my wedding day with anybody.
No, but I'm saying if it was Leo and Greenlee, I could understand, because
if
Leo and Bianca
had a... If that bastard Carlos ever put a ring on my finger, I ain't going to no double wedding.
Oh, you guys aren't married yet?
Shh.
You common law?
Hush.
As long as you've been together?
You hush up.
Why ain't he making an honest woman
and
of you?
And by the way, Pedro...
Why ain't he making an honest woman of you?
Because he ain't honest. Pedro was supposed to make an appearance on today's show at Castle. He got frostbite.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, we're in the midst of a snowstorm here.
And Pedro still wears them damn Birkenstocks with them wool socks in the winter. He got frostbite on his little pinky toe.
Speaking of which, I'm looking at the window. Oh, it stopped snowing.
It stopped snowing?
It stopped. Thank God. I got a long ride home.
So I'm mad at Pedro. But Taylor Crawford might be coming back in about a month or so.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I get a week off.
You get a week off. Or you could
do I not have to watch the show that week?
See, here's the problem, people. We would do.
Can I not watch the show that week?
Ooh. I might have to say yes to that. I wouldn't want to put you through that on your vacation time.
Look, let me tell you something. The last three weeks, even Guiding Light and As the World Turns have upped the ante for me and entertained me.
All right, well, let me zip through this crapo. Bianca storms out. She is just so pissed off at because they go to meet to discuss this double wedding thing. Bianca's pissed. She storms out. And then Greens talks to Reese, and Ryan Tathal talks to Boo Bianca. And Boo Bianca suggests that she's going to test Reese.
Disgusting.
So then Boo Bianca.
It's not Bianca.
It's not Bianca at all. So Boo Bianca, and even those ridiculous two people, Greenlee and Ryan, suggest that it's not a good idea. You know, they're saying it's not a good idea. It ain't a good idea. Long story short, Boo Bianca admits to wanting a big, formal Connecticut real wedding, because in Connecticut, you can get married if you're same sex. So she pretends that she's going to go to Connecticut to find places so that she can leave Zach and Reese alone to get it on. And then she gets a phone call from Reese, and Reese is like perfectly loving and perfect. And then she realizes that she made a mistake not trusting Reese. Then she goes back home, and who does she see? Reese and Zach in a hugging. They hug a lot.
No, that's in the coming attraction.
No. It was the end of Friday's episode.
Oh, yes.
Right. It's all a blur for you, honey. It's just all a blur.
I just can't.
And that's the thing that kills me. That's a freaking Friday ending? A Friday cliffhanger is her seeing them hug? Who cares? What happened to Good Friday, a good old-fashioned Friday cliffhanger? We get them every day on One Life to Live. Oh, I'm sorry, Super Poster. I gotta apologize, Super Poster. My poor Super Poster. People, go to www.myspace.com/Super Poster of the Year for everything All My Children. You won't get nothing else, except for sometimes you get blog discussion on other stuff. But mostly you get All My Children. He likes our show to be All My Children, but I'm sorry. I like talking about One Life to Live a little.
You know, I got to say this to Super Poster. For me, our last podcast we did talk about One Night Stand a lot. Not, I still don't think we did, you know, in conjunction, when you look at it, we only talked about 10 minutes, which is the most we've ever did about One Night to Live, mm-hmm. talking, in comparison to, like, the hour and stuff that we spent on All My Children. But it felt good for me to be saying great things and to be reveling in the things that I enjoy.
It's kind of fun. We hate being negative all the time.
I don't want to be negative, but All My Children's not giving me anything to be positive about. The only thing that I liked this week was Opal. That's the only thing. Even my Hubbards couldn't come through for me this week.
You want to talk about the Hubs at all?
What's there to talk about? They were on, like, what, one episode? They were on the casino party. And it made no sense. It made no sense. They came... we have not seen them through the holidays or anything. Isn't that bizarre that these characters are not seen through the holidays? And then to find out that this woman who was introduced with a terminally illness,
now
the tumor,
better.
Now she's going to survive and she's better.
Gonna be fine.
When Angie and them were like, no, she's dying.
Please die.
And then...
the actress, hate the character.
And then, like, the fact that, like, she's dancing with Jesse and Angie's okay with it and Angie suggested it. And the fact that they're all trying to make this work.
I hate it.
And then the minute Frankie's like 1 minute hating it, but then he's looking in awe with Natalia later on in the episode. And then
disgusting.
We haven't seen Frankie and Randy in a long time. All of a sudden, Frankie's upset with her because she used to be a prostitute. Where did that come from?
Then we have the Randy and Carmen conversation where Randy asked Carmen about Jackie. And Carmen admits that they're stalled.
Stalled? But you dumped them the last time we saw you. We haven't seen you since.
She goes Latina. Carmen goes Latina on him. We didn't say that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to embarrass you. Why don't I just leave?
What was the point of bringing her back? That was good. You sounded just like her. I mean, this is why it's getting hard for me to do that. Because I honestly think that Chuck Pratt is by far the worst head writer that All My Children's had. I'm sorry. I think he's worse than Megan McTavish.
I've had enough. We have 3 minutes to do One Life to Live. Did I forget anything, All My Children?
No, I don't think so.
We have 3 minutes.
Except where was Insani? The one thing that I like. Where was Insani this week? They didn't show her this week.
Well, because they didn't show her, they didn't show Adam, and I'm just fine with that.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. 3 minutes is by far not enough to talk about how excellent One Night to Live was this week. I mean, again, everybody in the cast is being used. Every day, something brilliant is happening. Dorian had the most incredible scenes when she got Asa's lawyer drunk to find out the scoop, and when she was remembering,
did she have sex?
She didn't have sex with him. She got him drunk, and she kept pouring the champagne, and then
she kept backing up
and throwing her glass into the plan. I was on the floor, but the best was when he was trying to get her in bed, and she had to jump on the bed and started dancing, going woo, and she was and I was to see Robin Strasser doing that and having so much fun, cracked me up. It was brilliant writing.
But you gotta talk about David Vicaroshi, who makes me laugh on a daily basis.
The David Vicaroshi storyline is out of control. It is so funny. It's perfect
hysterical.
For him.
I love it.
He is working it. And the fact that everybody in town is involved with this and everybody is reacting off of it. They had the most... Did you see when he said, I gotta go help somebody? And he went to that old lady and he's like, you need help. And she's like, I don't need help. He goes, yes, you do. You're old. I was on the floor. Or when he told Clint, I have to help people that are up
less
there in age.
And
that are up there in age. Do you need something, Clint? And the look on Clint's face. Or when he told Nora, he goes, what was it he told her? He goes, your good thoughts warm my heart. I hope to warm you up too. Or something to that effect.
Your good thoughts warm me inside.
I hope one day to warm you inside. See, that's brilliant writing. That's double entendre.
He's doing so perfect, too. He is
brilliant.
And you want to know something that's funny? Like, I'm listening to the lines. Because I read me some Eckhart Tolle. I did Oprah's webcast.
Uh-huh.
And some of the lines that he says as the Buddhist are, like, sort of legitimate
ideas
of Buddhism.
And it's just brilliant, brilliant writing. And then, of course, my beautiful Tess and Brody. Oh, my God.
Fantastic.
Indian Salem Silence.
Fantastic.
I mean, and it's not even about... They're not even at that point where they're attracted to each other. They're just being friends. And they're
amazing.
Building a relationship.
That's what our bloggers say. Like, those small moments that they
the
have together
are
like electrifying.
Fine. I mean, you just want them together. And then...
Well, this week... Well, let me tell them real quick. This week, Jess tells Brody
that she doesn't want to be friends with him because she's afraid that Tess will come out. She doesn't trust it. He practically begs her to be his friend.
Yes.
And the chemistry between the two of them is electric.
And then, again, and you guys don't understand.
They're sitting there. But then, listen.
What?
They're sitting there in the little sofa in the insane asylum, basically saying, we're going to be friends. And all of a sudden, the camera pans back, and you see Brody's nemesis.
Nemesis.
You see the little boy that he shot.
Oh my god!
Then
that
you
was
see Jess
such
behind,
yes. That was a
Tess
brilliant.
Jess.
That was a brilliant scene.
I love it.
And then another good thing was the confrontation between Bess and Vicky. Oh my god.
When
Bess basically told Vicky, Jess does blame you.
This is what happened. I gotta paint the picture for these people.
Go ahead. It was beautiful.
Even if you don't watch, this is the picture. All right? You got Jessica's mother, Vicky, talking to her about her altars
her
and trying to help her figure out why her altars are coming out. And she pushes Jessica and says, there's a reason that Bess comes out. Bess is the third. Bess is the protector.
The guardian.
She's the guardian. What do you think? What is she trying to protect? And all of a sudden, when Jessica's subconscious can't handle it, Bess comes out, puts on glasses and comes out and basically says, I've had enough. You won't be bothering Jessica like this. This is enough. And then she talks with Vicky. It was amazing.
And she basically told Vicky, this is all your fault. Which I honestly, to some extent, do blame. Vicky was messed up with her personality over the years. It's a miracle that those kids didn't come out as scarred as they did. Obviously, they did, though. And poor Jessica's now scarred for it. But I just think it's beautiful history, beautiful writing. The teens were great this week.
The teens were so good.
Scott Clifton, who played
Mr. J,
he was from General Hospital. He played Dylan in General Hospital.
Good.
He was so good on and General Hospital let him go.
They
wrote him off.
That's
and he
crazy.
Came. And I gotta tell you, he wasn't the original actor playing that role. Do you know that? Everybody who reads the soap.
You mean in GH?
No, on One Night to Live. Another
actor.
There was another Mr. J, and from my sources, he actually shot those scenes, that other actor. He was from One Tree Hill, and he's actually a good actor, too. Very handsome, too. But obviously, they decided to change the direction of the character, and they brought Scott Clifton, and they reshot all those scenes. And I gotta tell you, I gotta say, I like Scott Clifton in the role. I thought that there was some definite chemistry with him and Star. And
he comes in as Star's teacher. Star's being like chemistry teacher or something.
Yeah, and he did...
He's hip.
And he doesn't know who Star is, and Star doesn't know who he is.
And he starts quizzing her because he thinks that she's being a smartass. So he starts quizzing her about biology and the reproductive system.
Oh my god, and those scenes were tough.
And he grills at her like she's a loser, and she's like, I know what reproduction is. I just had a baby, and my baby died.
It was some
great
stuff, and the look on his face,
here's
he felt
what's
so
the difference.
Bad.
If it was all my children, they would have had a classroom scene where a dorky teacher comes in, a totally stereotypical dorky teacher comes in, and they go in and they teach the class, and the students are idiots and jerks or whatever. It would have been so stereotypical on every level. This show is like the kids are actually good students.
Yes.
They're actually decent kids. They're just but with real problems. Now Cole is flirting with drugs, and why wouldn't he? His mother doesn't remember him. He just lost a kid.
Well, see, you don't know that because you didn't watch when Cole first came
in
the show.
I know, I didn't.
Cole had he was doing steroids.
Oh,
that was how he was introduced to the show.
Great,
he was doing steroids.
Great.
So this is only. But the thing that I love too, I don't know. You saw it when he had those scenes with Matthew Buchanan.
Yeah.
And because Matthew just started in high school, and
that kid's getting
him.
Puberty.
Do you know he's Star's brother
voice,
in real life?
Yeah, I know his voice is all changing.
And they just signed him to a contract.
That's
finally
great.
He's been recurring, and he has this big storyline coming
kid
up.
Something?
Huh?
Nora's
he's
kid?
Nora and Bo's son.
Who puked on Nora this week? Nora had some nasty jacket on that looked like someone puked on her.
But wait, getting back to the girls, I love those scenes with Matthew and Cole. Those were some real scenes.
Because Matthew looks up
to
Cole.
And he's like a younger brother, older brother situation. And the advice that he gave Cole was that was such a beautiful. And they talk like teenagers on that show. You know what I mean? They're not trying to be hip with the hippling. They write them like real teenagers, and they talk like real teenagers. And I love the teens on this show. And I love that Matthew's getting a storyline coming up. I don't know what that mysterious storyline is of somebody watching him and calling him. We got to say the best for last. The Marty storyline was awesome this week. I mean, for those of you who don't know, she had the most incredible scenes with Todd, where she basically convinced him
to jump off
and end his life.
Where were they?
They were on, I'm assuming...
His penthouse, the top.
No, no, they were at the roof of the hotel or wherever that... Okay. Yeah. And he jumped and went in the water. And while that was going on, Blair and Taya were having an argument.
That would have never happened on All My Children.
And Blair... Never. Taya even said, what was that? And Blair was...
Blair and Taya were arguing. They see this body drop.
Oh, my God. And then John... I loved it. John was figuring everything out. And he came...
Marty's losing it, man.
And, well, see, this is another thing that I love about this storyline. This is, again, Ron C. Much props. For those of you who don't know Marty's history... Marty wasn't always the same. I'm not saying that Marty deserved to get gang raped in that college.
No,
but when Marty's character
came
out, she was a spoiled woman, a spoiled young girl with a lot of issues, and she had money, and she was a bitch. Mm-hmm. And she caused a lot of problems because she fell in love with Reverend Carpenter, that priest who you love so much.
I love that guy.
She was in love with him, and he was married to Cassie, and she wanted him. And because he rejected her, she spread rumors that he was having an affair with 16-year-old little Billy Douglas, who was gay, played by Ryan Phillippe. And so Marty was not
a saint. How does he know this, people?
Marty had a lot of issues. So this Marty that you're seeing now,
fantastic.
She reminds me of that Marty from back then. So see, this is in her nature. She doesn't remember changing and growing up and falling in love with Thorsten's K character. I forgot his name. She doesn't remember all that. She doesn't remember her son. So she's reverting to the way she was back then. And I think that's brilliant.
But the brilliant thing for me was when she gets on some stranger's motorcycle.
And it winds up being...
But hold on. She gets on and they go in for like a, almost like you think they're going to have a one night stand. And
they didn't.
And they didn't. But it ends up being...
Brody's friend Wes.
And I love that.
And I loved it. And I love their scenes together. And I love the fact that Wes is... Because Wes mentions...
Wes is hot when he took off his shirt.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Wes. But Wes was like when he was talking about, he was talking to Brody about her, and he just mentioned that he met this woman that was probably going to keep him in town.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't know that it was Marty. So he obviously has real feelings for Marty. I love this twist. And
really
the fact
good.
That John
was
upset
really
about it.
Good.
But we saved the best for last. The most phenomenal performer this week, hands down, Florencia Lozano as Taya Delgado. Because she is in everybody's storyline. I'm loving the fact that she's with A. Martinez and they're trying to like get the goods on that horrible
she's the best.
Bitch witch Vanessa. I love the scenes where she was trying to get
the little girl
to tell the truth. Very well played. Florencia Lozano knows how to play
Absolutely.
A scene. She
she's
never goes
she
for
needs,
the obvious.
She's big and grand when she needs to be, but when
she's
had a quiet moment,
oh
it's
my God.
Beautiful.
And how what? But see, look at all she did this week. She had the scenes with Vanessa and Chris. She had the scenes with the daughter. She had scenes on the phone with
that
A. Martinez.
Girl must be exhausted
she
at
had
the end
scenes,
of the day.
The best scenes with Vicky.
Yeah.
Her and Erica Flazak on Thursday had the best scenes.
And that's the thing I love about her character, Taya, is I don't know her like you do. I don't know any of these people like he does or any of you do that watch the show. But what I love about her is that she seems like she's so complicated.
Yeah,
because
she's
like a bad girl. But there's moments, like when she talked to Vicky, she said, how could you turn against Todd? He's your brother.
And you see what I told you? She still loves Todd.
Yeah.
She loves
so
Todd.
She's very
and that's why she's there. And she even tells Vicky, because Vicky said, why? And she says, because we connected. Because we were both abandoned by our mothers. Because we both are damaged. And she's just as damaged as Todd. And that's what makes Taya and Todd so great. And those scenes with her. And then Friday, she had great scenes with Todd and Blair.
Mm.
She had the best week
no,
ever.
No, but you know what? I love Todd and Blair scenes because Blair got...
No, they did have some good...
They
ooh.
Had great scenes because Blair looked at him and said, I loved you once.
Yeah.
You know, I
yeah,
loved you
those
once.
Those were some adult scenes.
And see this man in this picture, that man
but
is
you
not
know
around
what?
Right
and
now.
What I hope is that they don't... I think Blair and Todd have run their course. And I think that...
They're not going to go back.
I hope they don't
they're
do
not.
That. I love Blair with John.
I think
Blair and John,
realistic to
out of
me.
All of John's relationships, the relationship that he have with Blair seems to be the most adult.
I
it
like
reminds
it.
Me of
like
Jeffrey
it.
And Reba on Guiding Light.
I agree.
I love me some John and Blair. I mean, I
but
I
here's
hate to say
what I love
it,
about Todd and Blair. When you have, even in real life, when you have a couple that has that kind of history, they share three children, not two of them biological. They have, you know, a long, long, sordid, up and down marriage and relationship. Even as much as there's so much hate and anger there, there's a connection.
Well,
and they can have those real-life
moments
where you talk to your ex-partner
yes.
and you have real moments with them. And that doesn't happen on All My Children.
It
it's black and white
see,
on All My Children.
Antonio said it best when he was talking to Beth Bonner's character. He said, they're always going to be, their lives are always going to be intertwined.
That's right. And that's what these writers at One Night to Live are smart enough to do. They're not going to get them back together, I'm telling you right now. It's not going
to
happen.
Let me tell you something. One Night to Live was, even my As
a Woman, they can be adults and be in the same scene together without making love or having sex or kissing or any of that stuff.
Yes.
It was, they're going to continue to have a tortured, complicated relationship. Yeah. And that's what's going to happen.
I got to
give a special shout out to, what's her name though?
Ooh.
The little Tina's daughter. Sarah?
Yeah, so sad that she's going because she's really been doing good these last few weeks. Because they're finally giving her stuff to do. See, Ronci isn't perfect. He never really defined her as a character.
I don't
know
that storyline. That Christian.
I think there's more to that storyline. I think we got to give Ronci some faith. I think there's some more to that storyline coming about. We're going to be very surprised.
I don't care for her. I don't think she's good. I don't think she's good enough to be with Taya. I don't think she's good enough to be on the show.
But like I said, I don't think...
And I don't even think she's that pretty. I think she's harsh looking.
I think Ronci is playing it close to the vest. I think there's something more that's good. I think right now we're seeing this one side of that character and we have yet to see the manipulative side. She might surprise you. Look at Insani. You never thought you'd like Insani. Remember when you called her
black? I still don't love Insani. I'm sorry.
I love me some Insani.
Listen, I think the actress is fantastic. Absolutely. The whole storyline for me is so over the top, it's run its course. And I hate Ryan and Greenlee. Why is she so insane over him? Let her be insane over somebody else.
Melissa Claire Agin, you amuse me and that's all that matters to me.
No, she completes you.
She completes me. Namaste, everybody.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you, people, for listening. We have gone 3 hours and 72 minutes.
To make up for the 3 weeks that we were gone.
I hope you pardon us our length this week. We just enjoy being with you so much. If you want to write us, please do. We love your emails. pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com. Or you can go to our MySpace page. We'll try to check it out. www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast. Or you can go to our website, and this is the best part. If you go to www.pinevalleypodcast.com, you can click into the blog site. And every week, we get like hundreds of people posting in and giving their astute commentary. We love to hear it. We love to read it. It's the best community right now of All My Children fans on the web. So you got to be there or be square. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson. I just got to say one more thing. People, please, this Friday, please, please, please tune in to Friday Night Lights on NBC Friday at 9 o'clock. We got to save this show. This is the third season, and it is one of the best shows on nighttime. And if you're a soap opera fan, you will love this show because it is all the elements of a good soap opera. Please, I'm trying to save this show. I love Friday Night Lights. Tune in. It's not just about football. It's about family. It's about friends. It's about this small town and relationships. Tune into it. You will be surprised. And you can get the two first seasons on DVD.
We did not even get paid for that little rant. So he must love the show.
You've never seen it?
I've never seen it. We do have a young fan and admirer of the television soap opera genre. Her name is Alex, and she wrote us a little ditty, and we have it here now. So thank you, viewers, again for listening, and here's Alex's little ditty just for you.
Every day during the week, I turn to ABC to see the folks in Pine Valley. Green is boring and Ryan is too, but I can't wait to see what Tad and Dixie are up to. Erica fought a bear when it came, she just looked it in the eye, shouting, I am Erica Canton. Adam obsesses about making money, I don't think you'll find a better villain on TV. Next week on All My Children, I grew up with the show and it's really a godsend. Next time I'm gonna tune in to know the outcome of the plotline, but I wonder what the future holds. Kane and Chloe gonna have a baby, but I don't think it's his, I think it's Trevor Billy's. Victor Newman's got Jack in his sight, I really hope he gets what's coming to him tonight. Kay is my favorite person on the show, but I really hope she packs things up with Jillian now. Oh, Tamara Moore wasn't on this week, but I really hope someday he'll return to Janelle Sydney. Next stop on The Young and the Restless, I can't wait to see, cause I'm really interested. Next time I'm gonna tune in to see. I need to know the outcome, cause I really enjoy these shows. I enjoy these shows, the soaps, you know, ABC and CBS, soaps, you know. Next week on the Know My Children, next week on the show. Next up on the Young and the Restless. Next time I get to see, I'm really in my soul. I can't wait to see what happens to Erica King this week. And I hate Queen Lee, but Kendall makes great TV. What happened to Bobby when upstairs to get some skis? Never came back down, no, he's still in the attic, and he was never seen. He was never seen. What happened to his skis? People off the soul.